Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Tuesday evening, October the 24th, 2006. Chris Simpson is the speaker of this service, teaching on why most studiously avoid deliverance. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Shovels or axes, you know, or small axes. That's what those words mean. And they had a file for the small axes and the hoes and the forks to sharpen. In other words, we don't want any blacksmiths because they might make weapons. So if you need to sharpen your agricultural instruments, come to the Philistines. We'll sharpen it for you. We don't want to have any environment where anybody could be equipped to get a weapon. If you need agricultural instruments sharpened, come to us. But we don't want to put you in any environment where you could have weapons or learn about weapons or use weapons. So it came to pass, verse 22, in the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were Saul and Jonathan. Only Saul and with his Jonathan his son. Only two swords. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to passage of Michmash. Folks, that's a picture of America. Can you hear an amen? You know what the problem today? The leaders have left the believers unequipped. And the result, there's no weapons to use in the day of battle. Because of years of captivity, most believers, you ready for this? Don't know how to fight. Don't know when to fight, don't know who to fight, and don't even know to fight. They think Christianity is all about me, me, me. Jesus died so he could improve you and give you a wonderful new life. Now let's see the solution. There's the problem. Let's look at the solution. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then it came to pass on a certain day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let's go over to the Philistine garrison that's in the side. But he didn't tell his father. Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people that were with him were about 600 men. Now this is really interesting. Verse 3, look carefully. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitab, Ichabod's brother. Listen, Ahiah was Ichabod's nephew. Do y'all remember who Ichabod was? Ichabod was the child that was born when the ark was taken. And his name means no glory. The glory is departed. So there's a real type here. So Saul has amongst him one who's party to the family of no glory. And the Lord's priest in Shiloh wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. See, Jonathan got tired of hanging around religion. I'm a place with no glory. Think about it. Folks, I'm telling you, the angel that has the Ichabod stamp, he's running out of ink in America. Ichabod in the spiritual world is almost most churches today. The glory is departed because there's sin in the camp. Remember Joshua 7, one guy's sin. God said, your anointing's gone. Remember Acts 5? Couple tries to get away with sin. They die. You lie, you die. I mean, it's pretty. It's people, you want to be a New Testament church? Oh, yeah? You couldn't get enough hearses to line up front of the churches to take care of the people. Our true New Testament church. Get on that. Holiness and righteousness is the kingdom of God. So Jonathan couldn't stand religion. Saul was there with no glory. And this is a picture, folks, of a true disciple, self-initiator, go-getter, a remnant willing to fight the good fight. He couldn't abide the environment of Ahiah, no glory, in leadership. He was in leadership. Everybody was passive, hesitant, and fearful. He got tired of sitting around defeated. So he took the initiative. And he said to his armor bearer, let's go over to the Philistines. Let's go face the enemy. Folks, I tell you, this is the key to everything. You got to take the initiative. Do you know rockets do not need guidance as long as they're sitting on the pad? Am I right? The guidance system is needless until it launches. Many people are waiting for God to lead me. Oh, God, to make me urgent. He already said, go. Jesus said one thing at the beginning of his ministry, come unto me. You know what the end said at the end of his ministry? Go unto them. Come and go. He already said, go. When you come to him, and you really come to him, and you're broke for him, you know what he's going to tell you at some point? Okay, good, you cleaned up. Now go to the hurting people around you, waiting around for some angelic dream thing to call you to go and lay hands and cast out a devil. Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go to the garrison of these uncircumcised. I love this. It may be that the Lord will work for us. There's no restraint by the Lord to save by many or few. And isn't that cool? Hey, he's the Lord. You know, some of us feel really intimidated because we don't, you know, we see. I mean, I tell you what, it's pretty intimidating out there. Guy comes up one of these conferences. Well, I started my little home prayer meeting with six. We're running about 6,000, been together for 3 years. And here you are with your nine, and you've been together 11 years. You go, what's wrong with me? And so you watch this guy. You look at his, get his tapes and books and watch him, and you realize, well, sure does drive a nice car, flies a nice jet, nice clothes, and seems to have no want of anything. Sure has all those people. Can all of them be wrong? Yeah. Amen? The Bible seems to be full of instances where God works with few. Look at Gideon's army. One to put 1,000, two 10,000. The Lord's always left at the remnant. Folks, you're never going to be a big work when you cast out devils. We got a big field behind our church, okay? We bought this land. I got an 8,000 square foot building my God gave me. It's really cool. Totally God. I got a tiny little motley crew. Has no business being a building like that. None. Jerry's been to it. And God gave us this sucker. We almost got it paid off, too. Big old field back there. So one day I was telling the church, yeah, that's going to be our expansion, you know. We're going to expand because, you know, we're just going to build out the sanctuary. And nobody started laughing because they know the truth. When we do get a little fat, I just do a little mass deliverance. Trims that sucker back down like a haircut. Amen? And we get fat once in a while. You know, people start coming and they really like the environment, small church feeling, anointing, everything. And I said, whoa, we're filling up the chairs back to the back, you know. I said, ah, don't worry. Holy Ghost, I know, next couple of weeks, going to show up. Sure enough. And I'm standing there going, oh, Jesus. I do not want to rebuke the spirit of bestiality today. Please. Please, Lord. We have some nice families here. Please. To come against perverted spirit. Come on, Lord. And the Holy Ghost says, y'all know what I'm talking about? So we'll do it. The anointing comes, people get free, and then they start going to the door, they smile, and they never come again. But you know what? The ones that stay, stay free. Can I amen? And you know, I told the Lord finally after all these years, I said, okay, Lord, just enough to pay the bills. Amen? Just pay the bills! That's fine! I don't care. Just pay the bills. Keep us in the black. Amen? Because I want Jesus to show up in our midst. Folks, let me tell you something. Verse 6, you know the message here? Is you alone, if you're listening to this tape, CD, whatever it is, or you're in this room, that you alone, listen to me carefully, alone, you, matching it pedal to the metal for Jesus, can make a significant difference in your family, in your church, listen, in your community, listen, among nations. You're you, just you, just you! But yeah, you. In fact, the less you think of you, the more likely he can use you. If you kind of think, yeah, I believe that, then you might. But if you go, oh, there's no way good, you're a good candidate. You just do what Jesus says. You say, it may be that the Lord, I think I'll just dare to pray for somebody. I'll dare to spend an evening and sit in front of the demon box and lay my life on the phone and pray for them and cast demons out and minister in the gifts and learn how to move and submit to those who are elders in this and get out there and do it. Guess what? God's going to start doing stuff through you. And it's going to just flow because there's not a lot of competition in this ministry. I mean, it's a wide open field. It's like a market. It's like, you know, selling something in a market where it's never been sold. I mean, it's like just a wide open market, dude. I mean, there's no end of need. You know, you don't have to invite people to a fire. You ever see, you know, a big fire warehouse and fire? You know, say, come on down, see the fire. People just come to the fire. They like to see a fire, you know. I know, a car wreck, you know, down the freeway, all these rubberneckers. Okay, can you just go on? It's a car wreck. Slow down, I'm 4 miles behind, you know. You, the point I want to make is, Jonathan was just, hey, it may be the Lord. Look at verse 11. And both of them discovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look at this. Behold, the Hebrews come out of the holes where they've hid themselves. Remember they were hiding places? You know, the enemy is so secure, he's surprised at anybody that dares to take the offensive. He is so arrogant. He's like an undefeated football team, surly and arrogant, pompous. Understand, you're a little threat to him. By the way, you're a little threat to the devil. A lot of people like this strategic level, spiritual warfare, bombing the devil over nations and all that. Good, give me a look. Bombing the territorial spirits. Look, give me a break. Be honest with you, there's very little of that in Scripture. There's a lot in Scripture about rolling up your sleeves, going to one person, laying your life down, and casting the devils out of a person. Am I right? It's such a move, all the strategic level, the high level. People, look, guys, the majority of Scripture is cast demons out of people. But people are messy. I love humanity. I can't stand people. You know what I mean? I'd just rather do the big thing. Give me a break. It's all about laying your life down and loving your neighbor and casting devils. Out of who first? Out of your children. Out of yourself. Out of your neighbor. And you don't just go over to your neighbor. Hi, I've come to cast your devils out. Somebody will be cast out at that point. No. You're discerning devils in your neighbor. You are. Or your coworker. Or your mom. Or your whoever. You know what you do first? Is you engage in spiritual warfare, intercession for them. You pray for them. And here's one. You fast for them. I found when you begin to pray and fast for someone and cry out to Jesus and go like Daniel did, go before the Lord. Lord, grant signs in one great timing, perfect, beautiful timing where I can confront them at least speak truth to rout around the demon in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Let peradventure, God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth so you can cast the devil out, those that are snared by the devil. But if you start praying for that neighbor and fasting them and bring them over brownies one day, and you know they're full of devils, and you have brownies, love covers them all to his sins, you know you're going to eventually have an opportunity one day where you're going to actually be sitting there, and they're humble, and you don't have any hands on you, casting the devil out. And I'm telling you what, you don't know what's going to happen, but things in the spirit world, in hell itself, is reverberated when you cast the devil out. It's a miracle to cast the devil out. Did you know it's a miracle? And sometimes it takes a long time to get to where you can help somebody. I know, I've been a pastor a long time. You love people, you pray for people, you intercede. You keep people before the Lord. You wrestle in the spirit world with principalities and powers. And the whole time your objective is so you can set a captive free. And finally, over time, weeks, months, the time, it's like space-time continuum all comes together. And there it is, an opportunity. They're coming and asking for prayer. And there you are. Let me tell you what. Heaven and earth is behind you. God in heaven and the devils in hell are all excited about that deliverance ministry. And when you cast that devil out, you don't have a clue what happens when that devil goes spinning out of the atmosphere. Where does it go? I don't know. But where it goes, it messes things up. And then they get all excited. You understand? And one thing leads to another. This is one ministry Satan hates. And that's why Jesus said, know ye that when I cast out devils, the kingdom of God is here. He said, it is a demonstration of the kingdom of God when you cast out a devil. And it don't just happen, dude. You can't just go to anybody I'd like to cast your devils out. You go to Jesus. Lord, I would like to cast those devils out. Jesus is good. So would I. And you seek and you pray and you lay down your life for me and you obey me and let's work together and I will lead you how to love them and minister to them in meekness, win their heart so they can trust you and then you'll have the opportunity to do the miracle. Get out of mind. That's what it's all about. So verse 13. Did we read verse 12? No, verse 12. And the man of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come on up. Arrogance. Come on up, we'll show you something. It's like a demon saying, come on, come on. You're just a dust ball. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me. The Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. You see, the enemy's arrogant because there's so few deliverers, people bugging him. Verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet and his armor after him. And they fell before Jonathan. His armor bearer slew after him. And after that first slaughter, which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land of which a yoke of oxen might plow. Now look at this, folks. God shows up. You say, why didn't God show up before? The earthquake came. But notice when the earthquake came. They took the initiative. They did it. They got out there. They faced the enemy. And then God showed up. Look, there was a great trembling in the host and in the field and among all the people. And the garrison, the spoilers trembled. The earthquake, a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah the Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating one another. Look at verse 20. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there's a very great discomfiture. Total confusion amongst the enemy. Verse 21. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Notice this. Likewise, all the men of Israel that had hid themselves. Remember the caves and the thickets and everything? Look, they're coming out. They came out of the caves and thickets. When they heard the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them. All the people came out of their hiding places. So the Lord saved Israel, verse 23, that day, and the battle passed over to Bethaven. You know, we're surrounded by spiritual wimps. A lot of times we're spiritual wimps. God's looking for somebody who got the guts just to be a Jonathan, just to say, you know, maybe the Lord will work. Let's go just try His word, do what He says. And you'd be amazed how many people cowering back there are looking for a leader. People are looking for a leader. Somebody's got guts. Stand up for what's right. Not compromise, a blow with the wind. All it took was two guys, a little guts initiative, and God showed up with an earthquake. Do y'all remember any other story in the Bible where two guys did something and an earthquake showed up? Two guys and an earthquake. Do you remember Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the prison? Worst place you can imagine. Most of it being horrible self-pity. They began to sing and worship God. And guess what God did? After they worshiped a while, God sent an earthquake. And it was a surgical strike earthquake. It was an earthquake that only opened bonded doors and loosed bondages. Very carefully orchestrated earthquake. Amen? Nobody was killed, just bondages fell off. That's how earthquakes are from God. The surgical strike power moves of God that set captives free. And all it took was two. He sent them out in twos. If two of you shall agree, it's two. Just two. Just find somebody who's got guts like you. God wants to quake the demonic nests in all of us, those around us, folks. And He's waiting for you and I to take up the sword, stand up for what's right, be bold and aggressive in assaulting the enemy in others. And again, notice the end of the story. After God showed up, everybody else jumped in. See? Everybody else got in when God shows up. That's okay. You're not doing for yourself. You're excited. Come on. Jesus gave a parable. You know, some guys that have been in the vineyard a long time, and those that have been, whatever, just come on in. You know, you're working in the vineyard. Whatever you got in, who cares? It's not for us. It's for the kingdom. And the enemy was in total confusion and overcome. So what's the message tonight? You ready? Most everything discouraging you ever heard about deliverance is a bluff. It's a bluff. That's not hard. Just have some guts. Stand out. Do the right thing. Be willing to lose your life. That's not hard when you have eternal life. The absence of the body can be present with the Lord. So what? What is the worst thing can happen to you? What's the worst thing? So you die, so you're in infinite glory and joy forever. That's the worst thing. Amen? Infinite joy for eternity if you die. Why are we so afraid? He that believes on me will never die. Jesus said. It's not. He said, you believe on me? I'm the resurrection of the life of you, but you won't die. You know, for believers, it's not, it's just passing over. I don't know what it is, but it's not a fearful thing. Step over there, you go, dew! And you know, in fact, I believe we're so close to that, we're a breath away. If the veil, if we saw that over there, everything over here, we'd see it in the way it really needs to be. So why not just go for the gold? Next thing, it really doesn't take a whole lot to do a whole lot of damage. It really doesn't take a whole lot to do a whole lot. I'm just grateful that, you know, back in 82, 83, brother pointed me to Brother Harlan. Went over to Brother Harlan's and he was very gracious to me and prayed for me. And I went back. I was in the oil business at the time. Had a little Bible study on Monday nights with about three or four people. But really interested in going on my career, part of a nice charismatic church. But when I began to get free, and I'll never forget the first demon I ever cast out, a little young lady, buddy of mine prayed for her. And her head fell back and she screamed murder at the top of her lungs. Screamed murder! And we looked at each other. We looked at her. Whoa. And she came back, she's smiling. Guess what? A demon of murder left her that came in through abortion. A demon. I became pro-life. I always was. And, you know, after something like that, how do you go back to just kind of nominal Christianity? Amen? You start seeing signs of wonder. The kind of time I cast the devil out of a guy who had been to the occult. Now, I promise you, it was a clear blue day sitting in my house. big old picture window, sitting on the couch here, clear blue day, coming against these occult demons. Folks had hailed. Hail. Not hell, hail. I mean, all of them. I mean, all the time I was praying for another guy, and a big black snake landed right in the middle of my driveway. I looked at it and went, oh, my God, because I was coming against occult spirits. Now, you say, that's a coincidence. That snake would have fallen anyway. Well, that hail. Okay, it might have been, I don't know. But I'm dumb enough to believe they were tied in. Because I was coming against a witchcraft demon and stuff. Oh, one time I was praying and then the sky got weird. Come on, somebody ever seen that? The sky gets weird when you're coming against, because sometimes territorial spirits live inside of people. I don't understand that. The big mamas. And when those come out, they reverberate and that stuff gets weird in the heavens. You know, you get a couple of those things. How can you go back to normal Christianity? Oh, is it church time? Let's go sit and take notes and then go have ice cream and then greet our friends with the little coffee cup. You know, I can't do that, dude. I mean, you know, the time I saw the writing in the sky, I've seen a few, but literally I took a team to a nursing home. Hospital. We go to this hospital and after Sunday, because the Lord spoke to me and we have outreach. We go to a hospital, nursing home, and evangelism. And one time I had like 30-something people on a Sunday afternoon going to hospital. And we're all in there, and it was a small hospital. We had way more people than we needed. But people really get in the vision of this. It was really cool to have that many people on a Sunday afternoon visiting the sick, praying for them. So three or four of us stayed down at the bottom to pray and intercede. And there's a big picture window, and there's a chair here. It was a blue sky day. And we were praying in the Spirit, interceding for those that were praying for the sick. And I looked out the window, and I promise you, I have two witnesses that saw this. I looked out the window, and there was four clouds. And the first cloud was shaped like an L. The second cloud was shaped like an O. The third cloud was shaped like a V. And the fourth cloud was shaped like an E. And it was beginning to dissolve. And I went, look, look, look! And they all looked. And there it was, love. It's slowly dissolve. And I went, what do you do in a moment like that? You go, yes, Jesus. This is real, amen? No, it's a coincidence. It just, you know, by some phenomena thing just happened to be. Come on, give me a break. Jesus, in fact, he orchestrated where the clouds were right where I turned my head. Folks, you know what Jesus said to me that day? He said, that's what love is. To spend a Sunday afternoon leading those sheep to care for the hurt and the needy and the sick and the infirm. Can I amen? I felt so loved by the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me over the years. He said, to walk in the Spirit is to walk in the reality of the supernatural power of God, where the supernatural is not surprising. I want to get to where I can see, look out the window, says, repent, I go, amen. And go back to what I'm doing. Amen? Would that be cool? The phenomenon is so great. God, you see the Lord standing on, hey, Jesus, hope I'm doing good. Can it end? Did you know that's for us in this life? It is. We live so far away from the Spirit that Christ wants to give us. Smith Wigglesworth used to ride in the trail car, the railroad cars. And his story says that he would look out, he would see Jesus standing in the clouds. All the time, remember was it him that he woke up and the devil was at the foot of his bed? He went, oh, it's you. Turned around, went back to sleep. God wants every one of us. But I tell you, the secret, guys, is this. The message I want to start this conference with is it's you, just you, can make an incredible difference if you just get out of yourself, take the initiative, and do the right thing for those around you. Can you amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, let's pray. Come, Holy Ghost. Now, I want to do something right now. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this week to do in this meeting. Anyone in this room right now who has any physical need, a physical that you need spirit prayer for healing. Any physical healing right now. Any kind. Raise your hand. Keep it up. Keep it up. Way up. Now, I want everyone who doesn't have your hand raised to get up out of your chair. Hopefully there's enough. And go put your hand on someone that has their hand up. Please, everyone, get up out of your chair and lay hands on the one that has their hand up. There's a lot of physical needs in this room right now. Gosh. Come on, please, folks. Everyone that has their hand up, keep your hand up until someone has their hand laid on you. Back there. Look, there's two of them back there. Three of them. We need some more folks for back here. Kevin, can you come pray, please? Everybody needs to put their hand on somebody. And if they're not enough, you may need to put your hand on two people. There's a gentleman back here. Everybody put your hand on somebody that needs physical healing right now. The Lord spoke this to me. He wants to touch people. This is a lot of people with physical needs. Now, listen, if you got your hand up, somebody next to you, put your hand on them. Come on, even if you already got your hand on somebody else. Put your hand down. You got somebody with you. Put your hand down if somebody's got their hand on you. Sister, put your hand down. Okay. Lord, I pray right now that in your mercy you would come. Healing is no more than the mercy of Jesus. We pray right now you would touch the infirm and heal, Lord. You said in the Word we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Now, Lord, we pray, open heavens over this place and loose an anointing of healing. Healing anointing, Lord. Lord, touch, 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 heal. Restore. Father, I pray healers we don't even know we need healing. Significant healing. Creative healing. Miraculous, come Holy Spirit. Have mercy. Strengthen. Restore. Come, Lord, restore. Lord, you said out of our belly would flow rivers. Lord, let the river of life that has healing flow. Living waters flow now. Now. In every saint. Come now. There's so many needs in the room. Come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bushti, we lay hands on the sick. We're obedient. Now you do it, Lord. It's your anointing that heals. Now if the Lord impresses you, the Lord, while you're laying hands, He may quicken something to you. He may tell you there's a demon. Learn to move in the gifts, folks. He may tell you there's a demon. He may give you a vision or a picture in the spirit world. Just do what you see. That's what healing is. Do what you see. As the prayer, the Holy Ghost may be giving you a revelation. Do what you see. You're the one that God works through. More, Lord. Oil of healing. Come, oil of healing in Jesus' name. And if you're the one getting prayer, just say, Lord, whatever. God wants to always do something in every meeting. In every meeting, God wants to do something. Let Him do what He wants to do for you tonight. There may be a complete healing, a partial healing, a deliverance, who knows? But let the Spirit move. Holy Ghost may be convicting you. He may be putting His finger on. There's a sin, there's a rebellion, there's a selfishness, there's a hardness. You know, repent. Say, forgive me, Lord. Come, Lord, more. More of your healing, more oil. Keep praying, folks. Don't stop. Keep praying. Some of y'all are stopping. Eat by the end of the morning. Those that wait upon the Lord to renew their strength. Jesus, more Lord, more of your anointing. Come on, keep praying, guys. Let the Spirit build. When I do this in my church, we'll do it 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. The more you do it, the Spirit builds. It's like the water fills the room. It fills the room. I like to do it until everybody's drowned. Come on. Living waters, come and fill the room. Fill the room. Fill the room in Jesus' name. Fill the room. Living waters flow. Oh, Bele, Alameda, living waters. Living waters, every receptive heart, every open heart, every open spirit, Lord. Lord, everywhere where there's a malady, an infirmity, affliction, disease, oh Lord, I pray the curse of God over those demonic things. I take the spirits of infirmity and sickness. We declare separation in Jesus' name from the demonic. Lord, we pray for conviction of the Holy Ghost with His ground. Lord, where there's a necessity to repent, a soul tie, and a root, an old ancient ground, Lord, that in your mercy you would reveal the root, Lord, the root system, and deliver us. More, Lord. More of your healing. More of your anointing. God wants His people healed. He wants us to walk in health. He stuti andalamoki. Hobali alanamola. Living waters, living waters. Living waters flow. The Lord showed me there's some stubborn people here. I just sense the Spirit. There's some stubborn, and I heard him say, there's some people saying, well, I don't do it that way. Well, I don't care how you do it. We'll do it this way now. Amen? Go back, do it your way later, but work with me. Come on. Stubborn. I break that stubborn spirit. Well, that's not the way I would do it. I don't care. You ain't up here. I'm up here. We're going to do it my way. Amen? You do it your way when you get up here. I'm going to invite the water to come. I break that stubborn spirit, that religious spirit, that pride spirit. There is no one way to do this. The way of spirit blows like the wind, man. If you think you got this figured out, you're missing the Lord. I break that spirit of stubbornness. Lord, push us out of the wings of this plane. Lord, cause us to skydive for the Holy Ghost. But I pick that spirit of stubbornness. Oh, it's your religious spirit, folks, and it's in this area. Boy, I'm that a religious spirit. I bind you and you pick your power in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to make them mad. I'm sorry, brother. More, Lord. Deeper, Lord. More of your water. More of your water. Fill this place, Lord. Tell everybody, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Come on. Come, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now let's worship Him. Come on, let's worship. Worship Jesus. We don't need any music. Just worship Jesus. Come on. Worship Him in the Spirit. God well loves us that worship Him in spirit and truth. More of your water, Lord. Water, 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 water of life. Love, love, Lord. More, richer, richer, deeper, 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 richer, richer, deeper, more of your power, more of your anointing. Hit the captives free. Heal our bodies, O Lord. Heal us. Heal our cancers and tumors, Lord. Heal arthritis, Lord. Heal in the name of Jesus. I curse those things. Take your power in the name of Jesus. Living waters, hallelujah. Flow, flow. Fill the room, Lord. Drown us, Lord. Drown us. More of your power. More of your riches, your glory, light, truth. Lord, I pray you would illuminate minds. Lord, you would illuminate, Lord. Let your light shine where there is darkness, Lord. Lord, flash truth, revelation, understanding, and wisdom. Lord Jesus, in the inner parts, He shunned the lava candle. More, Lord. More. Receive. Say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available for the living water to touch my life, my body. Tell Jesus what hurts, man. Tell Him what hurts. Lord, this hurts. Lord, I'm sick of this thing, man. It may be a hidden sin. Lord, I'm sick of the sin. I'm sick of the rebellion and the perversion, Lord. I'm sick of it, Lord. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Set me free, Jesus. Lord, come with light, Lord. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Hallelujah, He loves you. It's His goodness that leads you to repentance. More of your grace, Lord. Lord, come with conviction, Lord. Convict our spirit, Lord, whether the ailment and the infirmity is there because of the sin. We break the curse of the sin. We break the deception of the sin. We curse it. We put the blood of Jesus on that in Jesus' name. Satan, I break your accusing, lying, condemning voice. I take your power. Greater is He that's in us. The blood of Jesus, we overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus. Living waters, Lord. Flow.
Flow, Lord, flow. Flow. Oh, living waters, flow.
Worship Him. Lord Jesus, He loves the praise of His saints. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The Father seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship the Father in heaven. There's so little true worship that goes to God. So much is self-centered. Worship Him. Oh, all the good things will come to you when you worship God.
We worship you, Father. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness and your patience. All your tolerance with us over the years. Thank you for being patient if we've been reticent and timid. Lord, thank you for encouraging us to do the right thing. Lord, in the remaining years of our life, that we'd bear good fruit for the kingdom of the living God. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Lord, I pray right now to seal the work that you've done in every person right now. Come, Holy Ghost. I pray you'd seal. Come, Lord, seal the work, the healing, the deliverance, revelation, the understanding. Seal, Lord. Lord, put your angels around us. Garrison them out, guard over us, Lord. Lord, the enemy would not rob or steal or backlash against us, Father. Let it seal. In the name of the Lord, Lord, I pray, pour holy wax and seal the work of the Holy Ghost in our life tonight, in this place. There will be no fowl of the heaven, no fowl of the air that will pluck these seeds out tonight. We take the power of the fowls of the air. Lord, come and put a canvas of holiness, a banner of truth over us, Lord. Righteousness. No fowl of the air shall pluck what God's done. Jesus, Son of the living God. Seal the work tonight. Seal the work to people. Let the Lord just, you know, the Lord showed me once, it's like tea leaves steeping. Just let the Spirit steepen. You know, the Lord quickened something to me. I'm from New Orleans. And everywhere I grew up got flooded. I've been there twice. All of my, I actually moved to Slida when I was 12. But my early years, it was in Gentilly. I lived 3 blocks from the levee. And all of that got flooded. And I've been down there a few times, and it's horrible. That city was complete under the water. As a judgment of God, that was a dirty city. He baptized it. But the Lord showed me something. I was there with my stepson about 2 months back. We were in New Orleans and standing in one of the levees where the break was. And I was looking at the levee water and how all the neighborhood had been flooded. And I was talking to my stepson about it. And the Lord spoke to me. He quickened something to me. He said, "My glory shall flood the earth as the waters cover the sea." And he said to me, "I want your ministry to be in New Orleans." Now, what he meant was, I want to flood your ministry. Sitting on that levee, I felt like he said, "You're from New Orleans, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to fight the levees to break in Jesus' name. Amen? And let the floodwaters come and cleanse the dirt and the filth." You know, we've been behind the levees too long, folks. And God has to send a storm to overtop and break those levees and wash it. That was a wicked city. It was the Myrtle capital of the country. They ain't going to be that no more. They're all in Houston. Our homicide rate's gone up 50%. Praise God. I shouldn't do that. There's a lot of good folks in New Orleans got shoved out. But you know, a lot of those folks were living in those tenant houses for generations, stuck in poverty. And you know, now they're scattered across the land. They're having chances, second and third chances in their life to finally make something. It's really good. Really good what's happened. God can turn anything around for the good. But it was really cool that for the Holy Ghost to say to me, he said, I want you to start breaking the levees when you preach. And every now, church was every single time I preach now, we invite the Holy Ghost to come. Because I have a belief now that every single time we come together, the Holy Ghost has something he wants to do for every person. And I am missing him unless I allow him to do it. And I don't know what it is, but every meeting, if you're there, he's going to do something. It's going to be either healing, deliverance, revelation, something. So I got to get out of the way and let the waters flow. Can you amen? And you know how many of y'all are preachers here? Pastors, preachers? Folks, listen, I encourage you to consider that. The reason we preach the word, okay, is so then he can come with signs following. And our problem is we finish, but we don't let the floodgates flood. What the word does, it opens our spirit. Okay, now, let the waters come! Because there was a level of healing and deliverance just now because of the word. Notice I preached from the Word. It wasn't just a bunch of stories. It was the Word. And you go, whoa, this is in the Word. Seven, cool. The Word gets you excited. Your faith goes up. Healing comes down. And demons cast out. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray a blessing now. Give us a good night's rest. Strengthen us to come back. We just pray for all the teachers. I pray Norman will get here safely. All of the sessions. And we'll leave, like our brother said at the end, mightily equipped for the kingdom. Amen? And God bless you. There's morning prayer at 6 here in the morning. Any other announcements? God bless you. Good night. Go in peace.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.